The story goes that many years ago, a pastor attempted to form a prayer group in his congregation. One of his parishioners, perhaps thinking about today's passage, told the pastor that she refused. She would not join because Jesus said that instead she should go into her closet and pray privately before the Lord. The pastor asked her, "How often do you do so?" The parishioner responded, "That's not the point. The point is that if I did pray, I should do it all by myself." This is the first irony of Ash Wednesday. We hear about how we should not draw attention to our fasts, and we should pray in private. But then we come together and participate in a communal liturgy that features a public display of our mortality and our sinfulness. The second irony of Ash Wednesday follows right after this one. Notice what happens after we confess our sins today, after we admit that we have fallen short in God's eyes. What do we do next? Many of us, myself included, then engage in a discipline throughout the Lenten season where we try to prove that indeed we can do it, that we do have sufficient willpower to escape our fallen nature. So on the one hand, Ash Wednesday is when we admit to God for a moment that we are nothing without God. Then, on the other hand, our Lenten disciplines are, at least in part, all about trying to prove that maybe, just maybe, we can show God and ourselves and each other otherwise. A third and final irony of Ash Wednesday is that we start our Lenten journeys at the end. We begin these long 40 days, this journey through the wilderness, at the end, with a reminder of our deaths. It means that Ash Wednesday is like watching a movie where the opening scene is the funeral of the main character, you and me. And then we work our way back, or is it forward, from there? Irony can be defined as the gap between perception and reality. The distance between those two things can cause us to look deeper, can cause us to laugh, can cause us to wonder what is going on. God uses irony all the time in his creation. Just look at how he used a teenage mother, her apolitical backwoods carpenter son, and the latter's chief persecutor to rearrange the entire world. So here on this Ash Wednesday, let's take a look at each of my three ironies, these curious gaps between reality and perception, and try to see what God is up to in each. First, again, from our gospel lesson, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." But in just the chapter previous, Jesus had said, "Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light shine before others." Which one is it? I think Jesus is trying to say something about intention, something about the purpose and attitude of what we do. So I think the church with this service is trying to say that in order to shine like a light, we must engage in some reckoning about who we really are. That way, Ash Wednesday enables us to come out of the shadows and show ourselves as the broken, not entirely whole, not entirely worthy sinners and saints that we truly are. Here's how one theologian put it. She said, Ash Wednesday, its liturgy stage manages us into public exposure, proclaiming we are not what we seem. Hearing and deliberately disobeying the gospel by receiving ashes is a way of coming out of the closet to ourselves and to others as dust to dust returning, as people who are not pure in heart, who do not love God with all that we have, who still equivocate between merely human aspirations and the kingdom goals. The purpose of Lent is to let that public confession and outward humiliation work from outside in towards genuine repentance that receives the forgiveness of sins. Our second irony, again, comes with what happens next. The idea that today, as we go into full grovel mode, we simultaneously keep our fingers crossed behind our back, as if to say, maybe, just maybe, I can pull myself out of this by giving up this or taking on that during this Lenten season. That's a deep, deep irony of the human condition and our relationship with the Creator that I can only attempt to understand or comment on. How are we but dust, but also called to be Christ's hands and feet in the world? One way of looking at it, according to Martin Smith, is that in this season, we are urged to surrender, not to strive, not to overcome, not to achieve. We are urged to surrender to a discipline. Surrender to a discipline, be it public or private. Put in a slightly different way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that following Jesus involves a sort of forgetfulness, where that effort allows us to try to lose our overpowering sense of self. These are ironic views of Lenten disciplines. They're almost detached, counterintuitive to what makes sense. But they do make sense when you're following someone whose view of discipleship involves losing your life so that you gain it, whose demand to take up the cross and die will lead to everlasting life. So this hints at our third and final irony, one I think that God takes particular pleasure and enjoys reveling in. Ash Wednesday begins at the end, which is something that God does all the time. Think of how Matthew's gospel ends. The resurrected Jesus tells his disciples, go to Galilee. The gospel, it is at its end, at its last chapter, and Jesus tells them, actually, it's just begun. Go back to where it all started and begin the journey all over again. Think also of where the Bible starts, in the beginning. The Bible starts with Eden, this vision of paradise, the end, at the very beginning. This Lenten season, I invite you to revel and struggle and laugh and toil through these ironies. We will journey together and alone in private and in public, in the season of penitence, prayer, and fasting. We will travel with great effort, and thankfully with God's grace, during these 40 days wandering in the wilderness. Through it all, we will all start in different places and travel on different roads. But we will end up in the same place, at the tomb, the Easter grave, which looks an awful lot like the end. but is the beginning. Amen.